Karen Conti. You are in the studio. Hi.
I am in the studio. Hi, Steve. Great to see you.
Congratulations. You have a book out. Now, Karen Conti, of course, is on WGN all the time. But if you don't know, she has been a litigator, trial lawyer. It says here for 37 years. She is only 37 years old, so I don't know exactly how that works. But
right,
that's
right from the cradle, Steve.
Yes, that's what it says. I'm just noteworthy in cases across the country, including U.S. Supreme Court appeal in a ballot access case on behalf of the Democratic Party. You obtained a reversal by the Supreme Court in favor of women's rights in the workplace. And, of course, much, much more. If I read the whole thing, that's all we'd be doing here because you have so many credits, some of which I didn't know. The most fit lawyer competition you won?
I'm a little competitive when it comes to that stuff.
I think you're competitive about a lot of things, frankly.
Yeah, we had to lift weights. We had to run. We had to do sprints. We had to do bench presses and sit-ups. And I was the most fit lawyer, and I beat women who were half my age.
Oh, good for you.
That was the best part.
When was this?
Gosh, that was about 15 years ago.
Oh, well, okay. But yeah. Still, that's wonderful. So you wrote a book, and the name of the book is Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer on Death Row. So let's go way back in time. There you are, a young woman lawyer saying, I want to represent this guy. How did that all come about?
Well, put it this way, I had never handled a case of that magnitude. I mean, who has, right? But who has?
Particularly a woman.
Well, you know? Right. And I was a young lawyer, and I had a law partner, and we got a call from John Wayne Gacy's people and his family, and he had some lawsuits that he wanted to defend, which was a really strange call, because why would he be defending civil lawsuits when he had this impending execution date set? But he wanted to see us, and I said to my partner at the time, like, I want to go down and look at evil in the eye. How can I not have the experience of going to death row, a place I had never been, and going and seeing the most prolific serial killer in the history of America? At the time, he was.
And was it like Silence of the Lambs? That's what I imagine.
You know, it was, but Gacy wasn't. He wasn't scary. I mean, Hannibal Lecter was scary to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But Gacy was such an average guy, and he appeared to be friendly and glib and intelligent and engaging, and that's obviously why he got away with so many of them, because nobody could rectify, you know, who he was in his one life, his normal church-going, business, charitable, political life,
mm-hmm.
and then that horrible side of him that did some of the most evil acts I have ever even imagined.
Now, for those, I don't know if you get this periodically, but I don't know how many years ago that was, but I imagine there are people that have heard of Gacy but really don't know about him. So how many murders did he commit? And also, you write in your book about a connection with homosexuality that would be different today. Can you talk about all that?
Well, back in the 1970s, John Gacy was living in Norwood Park, and he had a construction company. He was very successful. In today's dollars, he would be earning about $400,000 a year. And he was politically connected. He served on boards. He threw parties. He helped the neighbors. He was an upstanding citizen, except at night he was going out and trolling for young men and boys. And he would take them to his house. He would handcuff them or take rope and sodomize them and torture them and kill them. 27 of them ended up under his house, 4 in the Des Plaines River. And he was apprehended in Christmas time of 1979. The next year he was convicted and sentenced to death.
Now, as I said, you wrote in the book that there was, these are my words at the moment, repressed homosexuality. Do you think that in today's world it would have gone a different way, or are just some people evil?
Well, it's hard to know, because we don't know what the combination of things that make a serial killer. In fact, in my show next, we're going to be talking to two PhDs who have better ideas about this than I do. But
that's just after 3 o'clock.
It could be, a genetic thing, and then it could be a combination of a bunch of things. Gacy was clearly bisexual or homosexual. He had been sexually abused as a young boy. His father beat him and was abusive to him. And he was raised in a staunch Catholic home, which really frowned upon this kind of behavior. So again, there are people who were raised with those things and those elements who don't go out and do what he did. And so I don't know exactly what the psychology is. The psychiatrists who examined him speculated that perhaps he was killing himself over and over again when he was killing these young men and boys, and that was a symbolic thing for him. I really don't know, but it's I think that Gacy had a point of no return where there was nothing that could be done to help him, save him, turn him back from the path that he took. And I just don't know when that actually occurred.
Did he say to you, because you had conversations with him that I will say probably no one else had, did he say to you he was sorry in any way?
Gacy confessed to the crimes to his first lawyer when he was arrested, and he had details about the young men, where he picked them up, some of their names, and exactly where they were buried in his house. When he got to me, and this was 14 years later, so I was in high school, Steve, when all this murdering was going on. Flash ahead 14 years, I'm now college graduate, law school graduate, I've been a lawyer for a few years, and now Gacy's set to be executed. So by that time, he had sort of changed his mind and said, no, I really didn't kill anybody except that first one, and that was self-defense. So he didn't have those conversations with me. And if he did confess, I wouldn't be able to even recount them because of attorney-client privilege, which actually extends after someone dies. But he never talked about those things. In fact, when I tried to ask him about those things, he didn't want to talk about them. So he was in denial about what he had done. And frankly, it wasn't super relevant to what I was doing because the death penalty appeals really don't have to deal with actual innocence. We weren't there to try to get him out of jail, believe me. He was in prison. He belonged in prison. He's not safe. We're not safe with someone like him walking out, but we were just trying to get the execution lifted.
You can see Karen Conti, and we'll tell you how. The name of the book, by the way, Fascinating Stuff, Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer on Death Row. Where can people see? It's a webinar you're giving?
Yeah, it's called Pros, P-R-O-S-E, and Cons, get it? And
yes.
It's really just kind of an introduction to my book, and I'm going to be talking a little bit, being interviewed about my book and why I wrote it and what it entails, and I'm taking questions from the webinar attendees. I've got about 150 people signed up already. You can go to my website, which is KarenConti.com, and you can sign up, and you'll get a Zoom link, and it should be a lot of fun. It's just an hour, and it should be really informative. And I'm hoping that people, you know, are free to ask questions about capital punishment, about why I did what I did, and most importantly, I think to a lot of people is, you know, how did you get into his head? Like, what was he like? I think people are fascinated by true crime, and in particular, the worst of the worst.
Well, and you are too.
I am.
I know that about you. So has that happened because of that experience, or did that happen, and that is why you accepted that opportunity?
Yeah, chicken and the egg thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, some things just happen, like you think that maybe for a reason, or maybe you just open yourself up to things because you're interested. I'm a very curious person, so when I got that call, I could easily have said, I don't want to do this. Why would I spend 6.5 hours driving south to this godforsaken correctional center that is dangerous, and some of the most dangerous people in the state are living there? And may not live out their natural life there, if you know what I mean. So, but I was curious. I wanted to actually see what that was like. Now, I've always been against the death penalty, even when I was a small child, even when my parents were, you know, told me I should be in favor of it. So,
well, who brings that up as a, how old were you? We were talking at 6 years old about the death penalty?
I was listening to the radio, and my dad, someone was going to be executed somewhere, and my dad said, yeah, if you kill, you should be killed. And I said, really? That's sort of like saying, Karen, you didn't clean up your room, so I'm going to go in your room and mess it up. I said that to my father. He had to remind me of that many years later.
Well, I would agree.
Any wonder I became a lawyer?
I would agree with your dad that, and you being an attorney, you may or may not agree, but that might not be the best argument necessarily. Well, so how do you feel?
I didn't go to law school yet, Steve. Give me a break. I was barely in grade school.
So today, do you clean up your room? No, forget about that. I want to know how you feel about capital punishment.
Well, I just don't believe in it. If it deterred any crime, if it worked, you know, maybe I would be in favor of it. But I mean, it's used.
Do we know it? Well,
it does not. There's no.
Well,
the studies
on...
Where all the people are getting executed, you know, Florida and Texas, they have some of the highest murder rates in the country. So it doesn't deter. I don't think even the people who are in favor of it think that it deters, because there's no numbers to support that. It's more expensive to use. It's used in a racially discriminatory manner, not just the defendant being of color, but if the victim is white, the chances of the death penalty are so much more, because the victims are apparently valued more. And that's just a sad state. And there's also actual innocence. In our state, we had 12 people actually exonerated for innocence, not technicalities. And 12 were executed in a short period of time. We were 12 in and 12 out. I mean, that's a mistake. That's a bunch of mistakes that could have been made very easily. And that's why George Ryan, a lifelong conservative Republican who was always in favor of the death penalty, finally said, not on my watch. I'm going to grant a moratorium and commute the sentences. And it was a very unpopular thing at the time. And then Quinn abolished it in 2011. So we really haven't had it since that time.
In Illinois.
Right.
And weren't in Texas, I think for sure, at least one person, but I think more than one, killed but didn't die. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I mean, they went to execute him, however they do it, and it didn't work. Actually,
it happens a lot.
It does, really.
It happens a lot. Yeah, there was just one in Idaho. They couldn't find a vein. And the guy had been, they tried it before. He'd been on death row for like 50 years. And his veins were, you know, from drugs or whatever it was. And now they're going to try to do a firing squad. And they're getting ready to spend $750,000 on a firing squad room just to execute him. So there you go. When I say these things, I'm not saying let him out. That's not my point, because there's certain people that cannot walk outside a prison cell. They, unfortunately for us and them. But I will tell you that the death penalty, just throw them in there. Why? And why all the hoopla? You know, everyone knows John Gacy's name. No one remembers the victims' names.
Speaking of which, have you met any of the victims?
No.
Or their families?
No.
Would you want to?
Yeah, but they don't want to talk to me. I actually reached out to a couple of them. Because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to hear their story if they wanted to be part of my book.
Did they see you as a traitor?
I have no idea. They sent my letters back with, you know, do not contact. So, and I, you know, that wasn't my job. And a lot of people say, what about the victims? When you are a lawyer, you represent your defendant. And if everybody does the job that they're supposed to do, including the judge and the jury and the police, prosecutors and everyone in the whole piece, then justice gets done. And I talk in my book about how I am regularly called upon to represent victims mm-hmm. who maybe have been sexually abused, and they want their perpetrators prosecuted, and they want me to advocate for them. And I do. So I do that. So I do know that the victims are suffering, and I do understand that there's that side, but that wasn't my job in this case. And that, if that makes me sound cold, I apologize, but you can't represent both sides of the baseball team.
Is that a harder job to do? I mean, when you wake up in the morning and you're representing someone who you know in your heart, and maybe they've even told you that I'm guilty, it seems like a tough job to do.
No. I know that's hard to understand, but if they're guilty, then my job is to get them the best deal. That might be pleading them guilty and having them sentenced to life. Okay? Yeah. That might be what I have to do, and so be it. That's what I do. But you have to look at it this way, and I'm going to not get into all the facts, but Gacy, I firmly believe, did not kill all those young men and boys. I think he killed most of them. But there were co-conspirators, I'm quite sure.
That was my next question.
And let me tell you this. Because, you know, perhaps we should have been looking into this, and then maybe there should have been a defense that he didn't kill all these people. Why? Because the people who helped him walked free. And that's not good.
Now you have to remind me a little more. Who helped him?
Well, there were two young men living with Gacy during the time some of these crimes were committed.
And do we know they actually did that?
We don't know anything for sure. We do know that they dug the trenches because they testified at trial. We do know that one victim escaped, and he said there was more than one perpetrator doing sex acts to him in the house. And we know that this house was not that big, and it just defies logic that those kids didn't know what was going on. At least they didn't know what was going on, if not helped perpetrate or hide the crimes.
Why wasn't that pursued more at the time?
I'm guessing that the prosecutor chose to just wrap up this with a neat bow, get the world record serial killing conviction and not risk the idea that someone was going to let him out. And I get it. But they also help. It also helped to have those two young men testify against Gacy.
Oh, so that is the real reason why, you think?
Probably.
All right. So is our, not only the Gacy case, because that doesn't seem quite right exactly. Yeah, Gacy should have gotten the penalty maybe that he did. But if others were involved, they should be penalized too. And that was overlooked out of convenience or assistance from them because they testified, as you just said. How fair, how equal, how right is our justice system?
I think it's generally the best system in the world. I think the death penalty part of it is a stain on us if you travel.
Many other countries do not have
No.
that, correct?
I mean, they think that we're barbaric. I mean, none of Europe, none of the civilized countries really have it.
Interesting, the way you said that. None of the civilized countries, which presents us as not so civilized.
Bangladesh has it. China has it.
And we, in fact, are the most violent country, I think, on the planet.
Yeah. But, I mean, that doesn't mean our government should be violent.
No.
I don't think that makes any sense. You know, so we have people shooting up schools, so let's shoot up kids, like, who are doing it. That's just not the way I'm wired. And I know that your listeners are going to be largely against me on that, but let's agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens with the death penalty. I think it's falling out of favor. I'd like to take the resources and prosecute more people. I'd like to see people stay in jail longer.
Doesn't that cost us more? Isn't that the other side?
It doesn't. And that's another thing that is indisputable. Using the death penalty costs more. Costs more trial. You have more appeals. The process itself causes lockdowns. Even the machinery is expensive, and the people and the personnel. So all of these appeals that a death penalty defendant gets have to be paid for, not only the prosecution, but the defense. And that's just the way it should be. And again, that's why we have all these exonerations that happen where people are actually saved and someone else committed the crime.
You don't hear about serial killers a ton. You've been talking about one right here somewhere in the Chicago area, conceivably, right?
Yeah, we are talking about all these young boys and men.
But it hasn't been getting press.
No.
You've been talking about it, but... And that's good.
There's some other people talking about it, too.
Okay.
But the police are denying that it's going on. But, you know, they're leaving their bars, they're leaving parties, and they're gone for a while. They're found in a body of water, either the lake or the river.
Why would we're talking about the Chicago police. Why would they deny this?
I don't know how you can take 22 or 24 young men and boys in a 15-month period found in waterways and say that there's not a connection. I mean, you know, yes, people do fall in the lake drunk and die. But 22 or 24 of them in that short a period, there's something strange going on. Again, I don't know. I can't explain it. But I think somebody should be looking into it.
What fascinates you about all this stuff?
Because having represented Gacy, I realized that when you looking at someone who did unspeakable acts, they don't look evil. So it makes you think, who else is out there? Who's standing next to me at the L stop? Who's working for me? You know, who's...
But I hope not.
Who's in this? Who's in the studio right now?
You have a new partner too, don't you?
Yeah, well, I should check his resume.
Yeah.
No.
Karen Conti is her name. We're running up against the clock here, Karen.
Thank you for having me on, Steve.
No, hold it. You're not going that fast. I want to say the name of the book again for you. Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer on Death Row.